shanti, shanti, shanti. Hello and welcome to the Spiritual GPS Podcast. I am your host, Dana McLean. This is a place where I have candid, insightful, and transformational conversations on topics that support and assist curious truth seekers in all areas of spirituality. It's about expressing ourselves as the spiritual beings we are while navigating the practical world we live in. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Spiritual GPS. My name is Dana McLean. For those of you who don't know me or haven't seen my work before or have worked with me, I'm an intuitive life coach, intuitive medical medium, energy healer, all over practical mystic, spiritual seeker, astrology nut, you name it. I started this channel to support those who are looking for information on how to live a spiritual life in a practical world. So hopefully some of the information that you receive today and in my other videos helps you do that. Today, I actually had Mariah with me, and we got our wires crossed, so it's not going to work today, but we're going to try it again next week. And so I thought I'd just go ahead and continue on to what we were going to speak about. And we were going to talk about the new full moon coming on the 20th, I believe, of this month of October. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's the 20th. And oh, yeah, it is the 20th. And actually, it's at the 20th at 7:57 a.m. Pacific time. And I thought it would be really important to talk about the full moon, especially right now, and in the sign of Aries in and then the sun in Libra. I think there's something really special about this particular new moon that I think a lot of you would like to know, and why you feel maybe the way you are. I also want to talk a little bit about what's going on astrologically in a bigger way, with focusing on the planet Pluto and a little bit on Saturn and where they're located. Now, this would be specifically sort of discussed around the United States and what's going on with the U.S. chart. But as we know, we're all connected. So I think it's very interesting information. So let's start with the full moon. So for those of you who don't follow how the moon affects you, let me just do a little brief discussion on that. You know, we're all connected to the moon. The moon is in the orbit of the Earth, and we live on the Earth. So we are all energetically affected by the moon's gravitational pull, the way where the moon is at as it transits the around the Earth, and where your natal moon is will also affect how you feel about the moon, depending on where it's at and what time of year. The moon
affects the tides. It's very connected to water and the tides. And it's like this pull, this magnetic pull that we have back and forth. And so we're made up of water and minerals. So the moon is going to affect us. The moon is going to have this energetic pull on us. The moon is, because it's connected to the idea of the water element, the moon represents emotions. And esoteric astrology, the moon is sort of your Achilles heel. It's sort of like where you get tripped up. The soul gets tripped up on its journey through this life experience by the emotions. And the moon plays a part in what those emotions are and how they manifest in your life experience. But it's a very important element to look at when you're looking at your chart or you're trying to figure out why you're feeling a certain way. I remember when I first started studying astrology, and my daughter and I were doing it together, and she's really sensitive to energy. And I remember one day she said, I don't know, this is like really early on when we started it. And she says, all of a sudden I'm really angry. She goes, I don't know, Mom, like I'm just sitting here and all of a sudden I got really angry. So I wrote down the time and I looked at my ephemeris, and the moon had actually just moved in within minutes of the time she said that into the sign of Leo. And for her, Leo is very challenging. It's too powerful and too energetic for her. So she never really does well in the sign of Leo. It tends to be a little too aggressive for her, especially when the moon's there. Not so much the sun, but anyway, off on a side note there. My point is, when you're sensitive enough to recognize when you have a shift in your energy, you might be surprised if you go and look and see where the moon's at. And there's tons of apps you can get on your phone for that kind of thing, or you can Google it on the internet, whatever. It's amazing to see where the moon is and to see if that's why it's affecting you a certain way, or why are you feeling a certain way, depending on where the moon's at. It's very, very helpful, especially when you're going through a moment where you're like, why do I feel this way? Why is this happening to me? Why am I so emotional over this? Why? I find that when you can wrap your brain around why something's happening to you, you will start to have more comfort and ease within knowing that it's okay. Like, let's just move through it. It's going to be okay. Instead of getting all wrapped up in the emotions around it, you know it's going to pass. The cool thing about the moon is that it moves very quickly. So, you might have one day, 2 days that are kind of rough, and then it just moves on. But the wonderful thing about any planet that's transiting, that's pulling on you in any way that gets you, to tap into what's going on in your life, it's a beautiful thing, because what it does is it gets you to stop for a second and figure out what's going on and what you need to shift and change to support yourself. So I recommend to anyone who's starting to tap into their intuition, starting to work on those inner wounds and basically do all the work that we're all being called to do during this time of transformation, is to know where the moon's at, to know where your moon's at, and to know where the moon is at any given time and what energy it's sitting in, so that you can either lean into that energy, or you can say, okay, whoa, I understand now why, I'm feeling agitated, and it'll pass. So let's go on to where the moon is at right now. Not in this very moment. Today is the 13th of October, so of 2021. So we're going to be looking at where the moon's at October 20th. We're going to have a full moon. Again, it's at 7:57 a.m. Pacific time. It's going to be a full moon in Aries, which means that the opposite, where the sun is going to be, is in Libra. So when you have a new moon, the sun and the moon are together in the same sign, the same energy sign. And then when you have a full moon, the sun is opposite where the moon's at. So the first sign of just, without even looking at my notes, I've got tons of notes here. I've been doing a little bit of research on this, so I was prepared for this podcast. But just energetically, having the moon in Aries can be a time of great new, it's like new beginnings. It's the first sign of the zodiac. It's the, I am here, I made it. Aries is it's a fire sign, and it's very magnetic. It's very like, let's go, let's start, let's do it. It can be very fun, but it can also be, that time where you might jump into things before you stop and think. It can be very spontaneous, a little bit too much sometimes. So depending on your makeup and your individual chart, no one has the same makeup. We are, except maybe twins born within a couple minutes of each other, but even they're going to be just slightly off, is that the Aries is just be aware that it's a very energetic sign, and it's a cardinal sign, and so actually is Libra, which is the opposite sign. So imagine that you got the in Western. I'm looking at Western astrology, by the way. So if anybody out there is studying sidereal astrology or Vedic astrology, it will be a little bit different placement. But I'm looking at Western astrology, which is also called tropical astrology, where the Earth is the center of the. This is the center of this sort of, I always look at it like a pie. On one side of the Earth, you have the moon in Aries. On the other side of the Earth, you have the sun in Libra. Now, the thing is, when you have two, complete opposition going on, what you've got is this almost like a flashlight kind of shining down through the other sign. So you've got the first house, Aries, the new beginnings. It is a cardinal sign again, new beginnings. It's the I am. It's that I am. It's about you. It's about the self. It's about the ego. Then you've got the opposite sign, which is Libra, where the sun's going to be sitting. And that is your house of relationships, interpersonal relationships. So when you've got the moon in Aries in this I am sign, you've got this sort of again, the moon is emotion. So you've got this emotional feeling of I am, and I'm starting new beginnings. It's new beginnings. It's the beginning of a new season. It's new beginning of new way of thinking. It's It's about you, but it's emotionally about you. So you have this inward, you know, dialogue, I would say, and communication with yourself about yourself. And then you've got the sun, which is your ego, represents your ego in the sign of Libra, which is about relationships with other people. So we've got this interesting, and Libra is also a cardinal sign as well. So it's this sort of new beginnings with relationships. So in our previous, my previous video, I think I may have talked about the new moon being very much about relationships and recognizing that there's going to be a shift in relationships, whether it's letting go of old relationships and creating new ones, or whether it's just transforming ones that you have because they're just not working for you. This could be relationships with anything, you know, it can be, it's all interpersonal. So it's whatever you find intimate with you, whether it's your work, your coworkers, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, any relationship with others that you experience on a daily basis is what I would consider interpersonal relationships. So you've got this really interesting and wonderful sort of like, okay, how do I feel emotions with the moon? How do I feel about myself with, and how I want to be and what I want in my life, that, you know, very much the ego, like, you know, what feels right to me within the relationships I've created. So there's this, it's a pretty powerful full moon. The full moon is also about letting go of things. So when we talked about the new moon previously 2 weeks ago, it was about recognizing what it is in your life, what relationships are showing up in your life that need some transformation, are looking for some sort of like, it's not quite working for you. It's not supporting the self. And after these 2 weeks kind of go by, which we're in the middle of that right now, being the 13th of October, when we get into the full moon, it's that opportunity to go, okay, I've had a time to see all of the things that need to be shifted in my life within regards to this particular aspect, this idea of relationships in my life. Now, what parts of that are not working, and what can I let go and release to allow something new in? So you know, it could be as simple as, you know, I need to shift my schedule at work so it works better for me, so I'm not so frustrated at my job at work and the people I work with. Or it could be as big as, I no longer want to be married to this person. You know, so it's really individual. Just looking at my notes here for a second. This is another aspect that we need to be aware of with this particular full moon. The moon is going to be in Aries, but it's opposition of Mars and Libra. So it seems like the sun and Mars are going to be next to each other in Libra in this house of relationships. So whatever this relationship is, that you're shifting, changing, transforming, releasing, there's going to be a lot of action and a lot of forward movement and a lot of, you know, Mars can be aggressive and Mars can be anger. You know, he's the god of war. Mars used to be the ruler of Scorpio. So Mars is also about those really deep secrets and those things you don't really want to share, and your sort of your wounds, you know, that you carry with you and you're working through in all your lifetimes. But the one specifically you carry into this lifetime, Mars can be really challenging. So, but Mars is about what the side I like to look at Mars is, I like to use the word action, because whatever that action looks like, whether it's, you know, in a positive direction, or it's like you're, you know, overreacting, or you're angry, it's all action. So you just need to be aware that it's action based. So there's going to be some sort of push and forward movement and sort of like, you know, support to get you to make that transition or change whatever isn't working with you in relationships. And it's going to be very connected to the ego, because it's the sun, you know, we're looking at the sun in that sign. Let's see. It's going to really challenge you, how you relate to others, I think, in a nutshell is what I want to get across. Okay. I did write down this. This is interesting. Okay. So there's a square Pluto so the sun is squared with Pluto. The sun and the moon are both squared with Pluto. Okay. Now a square is a 90 degree, aspect, and the square, it represents, a challenge. It represents conflict. And, So you're going to be challenged with, and Pluto represents those, your wounds, the deep-seated wounds that you have, the karmic lessons you're working on through this lifetime, the secrets that you hide, the things you don't really want to share, the things you sort of bury down deep where you're like, I don't want to think about them anymore. They're coming up in relationships and they're going to be looked at. So if you have a relationship where you've had to like hide yourself, bury yourself, protect yourself, kind of like, you know, been hurt, but you're kind of like, oh, I don't have time for it right now. I'm going to put it over here and deal with it. Probably never until it comes up and bites you. And then you have to do something about it. And that's kind of what's happening right now is that all these things within these relationships that are no longer working are coming to the surface for you to look at. And it's a wonderful opportunity to say, okay, I need to let these things go. They're not going to be serving me anymore. It's only going to get worse. And I have an opportunity now with this energy that it's right here in front of me to transform these relationships so that I no longer have these wounds that I carry around with me. I can release them and let them go, which who doesn't want to do that? You know, I mean, it's like carrying a heavy bag of wounds around with you everywhere isn't really fun. And the more we try to bury them and say, oh, I don't have time for that right now. I'm going to compartmentalize it. I'm going to move on to something else. I don't have time. You end up just building and building and, you know, your sack just gets heavier and heavier. So take the opportunity right now to really look inside and look at your relationships that you have with others and situations that you have been struggling with for a while about feeling happy with it, feeling comfortable, feeling in alignment, and ask yourself, can I transform this relationship or do I need to let it go? You know, this doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be both, and it could be more than one relationship. But the point is, it's an opportunity to really look in there. And if you're, when I say opportunity, I'm saying it like lean into it. It might not feel good, and it might be kind of like shoving up against you where you're like, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to deal with it. Like it's coming at me and I don't have time for this, or I don't want to think about this. It's too painful. I'm going to challenge you and I'm right now sending out energy of support for you to lean into this pain, lean into these wounds, lean into the parts of yourself that you have not looked at before. And you just keep shoving into this sack that you're carrying around with you everywhere. It's time to let them go. It's time to release and feel lighter. It's time to move into relationships that support you. Get in alignment with relationships that support you. Look at how you're feeling about the self. Are you honoring the self? Are you giving too much of yourself to somebody else and not looking at and getting resentful because someone's taking up all the space and you're just trying to, you know, constantly keep up and make them happy. Is this in alignment with you? Is this working for you? Your ego is going to be challenged and it's going to be kind of pissed off and be like, you know what? It's not working for me. And if you keep ignoring it, it's just going to get worse. So this is a great time to say, okay, the energy's here. It totally sucks, but it's time to do it. I listened to somebody that I follow a lot in astrology and she kept bringing up this P word and I love it. Her name is Tanya Gabrielle. If you know, I don't say that I'm a professional astrologer. So, if you, watch her newest episode, about this transit, she talks a lot about the P word and, you know, and Pluto in astrology is, the symbol is a big P. It's got a little line at the bottom of the line, but you know, that goes like an L, but it's a big P. And she started talking about P words. And I started thinking, so I was just listening going, how many P words can she come up with? And she came up with a lot. And I was thinking, this is pretty cool. So I want to share them with you. Pluto is about power positions. It's okay. Pluto is about purging. Okay. It's literally about purging. It has a purging effect. It has like, you know, I always think of Pluto. I see this, it's a great destroyer. You know, it destroys things that no longer serve you and it leaves room for you to create new things. And sometimes it does it without you even wanting it. You know, your conscious mind is like, no, but it happens anyway. And sometimes you lean into it and you allow it to happen. But Pluto is about purging. She mentioned power positions and she was starting to talk about all the power positions like president, prime minister, pharmacist, physician. She's thinking about all these P words. And I challenge you to think of all the P words that you can think of that have a position of power in your life. And I'm wondering if any of those need to be transformed. So even if you're like, I'm really happy with all my relationships, even if you're not happy with them, it doesn't really matter whether you're happy or not happy, you can still do this exercise. How many P labels, I should say, titles, labels that we give people that have a P, that start with a P, that we can sit there and have a sort of like a little inward dialogue with ourselves about how we feel about those positions? Whether it's physician, pharmacy, president, prime minister. She mentioned a few others, but I didn't write them down. I'm trying to think of one now, but I'm blanking. So anyway, I say, how do I feel about the physicians right now? Are they really serving me? Are they what true physicians should be doing? Or is it getting wrapped up by the rhetoric that's going on and the power plays that are going on? There's power. So Pluto is representing blowing up those powers of position, those things that control us that no longer serve us. So Pluto is playing a really big part in all of this right now. Okay, I'm going to go back to Pluto, but I wanted to talk about... this was good. I wrote this down, so I'm going to repeat it. How we might be disempowering ourselves. And it's about releasing and purging that. So that's the key word. How might you be disempowering yourself within any relationship you have with anything, whether it's the P words you're looking for or a person in your life or job or whatever? And how can you purge this? Because it's no longer serving you. So Mars is also playing a big part in all this. Mars and the sun are going to be conjunct, especially during this full moon. I know a lot of people right now have been calling me and they're like, things are so aggressive right now and I'm feeling angry and I'm feeling wiped out and I'm feeling frustrated. And I'm like, Mars, 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 Mars. I just keep saying Mars because Libra is the sign of harmony and balance. It's the sign of harmony and balance and beauty. And when Mars is in there, it feels like crap because Mars is like the opposite of what that feels like, you know? So Mars is challenging our instincts. Let's see, what did I write down? Unleashing. But when you think about the word action that I mentioned earlier about Mars and being in Libra, even though it can feel like it's the opposition of what Libra represents, if you just keep that word in your mind, action, my favorite description of Mars, is action in creativity, action in balance, action in harmony, action in beauty. Peace, ease, grace, love, relationships, your relationship with everything. Mars is supporting that movement forward and supporting this action that needs to happen with regards to finding that balance. Another thing I want to bring up about Mars is that because it's so heavy, or it can feel heavy for some people, you want to move your body. You want to physically move your body. It'll support you because Mars is about, Mars is the ruler of Aries, and Aries is about movement and challenges. And, you know, Aries people want to be like first, you know, they want to like win the race, you know. They're usually people who have a lot of, they're very into sports. They're very athletic. They like to move. They like to jump. You know, I mean, think about the goat. It's like, it's jumping back and forth. You know, the Aries goat, it's jumping back and forth. You know, it's very active. So if you're someone who's been sedative for a while, or you, I know sedative is the right word. Anyway, someone who's been sitting around like a couch potato for a while, or sitting on your ass too long, or whatever you want to say, it's time to move. It's time to start moving again. And I know it's getting into the winter months, but it's time to start moving. Even if you're just like, you know, the other day I was making a bunch of phone calls and I was doing like squats between my phone calls. You know, I'm like, I just felt like moving. I have this Qi machine too. That's pretty cool. I just recently got it. And you just kind of put your legs in it and it shakes back and forth your body. So if you can't like get outside or you can't think like, I just don't feel like dancing or doing pushups or, you know, playing sports or whatever it is. Sometimes I just get on that Qi machine and I just let it move me around. And then I sit there and allow this wonderful tingling energy going up my body. And anything you can do, movement, squats between phone calls, you know, you're cooking and you're listening to music, you know, whatever turns you on. But move. I think it's really important to move during this time, especially if you're feeling like that aggression, that aggressive energy with Mars, that Mars can bring, I should say. Some people really do well with Mars. You know, I have a lot of Aries. And I have a lot of planet in Aries in my chart. So Mars, depending on where Mars is at, Mars actually challenges me to create and move. And so for me, this is going to be a fantastic aspect. It's going to be easier for me than maybe some others who have it in a more challenging position. But it's about movement. Okay. Whether it's you're creating a video like I'm doing or a podcast or whatever, or you're, you know, creating new things in your home, or you're, you know, you're finally, you know, shifting a relationship that no longer works for you. Okay. Let's see what else here. Saturn. Okay. I want to talk about Saturn a little bit. Mercury's still in retrograde right now, and that is also challenging a lot of us. But it's good because Mercury's in retrograde, which means that it's inward dialogue with yourself. So right now we're having this opportunity for a couple more days just to sit here. And I didn't even look to see what day it goes direct, but I think it's like tomorrow, the next day. There's this opportunity to go within and have those. Have that inner dialogue with yourself, you know, let your mind wander, let your thoughts wander, think about, rethink about, readdress, dig up those old emotions and calibrate yourself and look at different things in your life that are not, it's supporting the opportunity to look at the things in your life that no longer serve you in this relationship, arena specifically. And so, with that, and then this full moon coming, it's like beautiful. It's like prime. It's like priming you and saying, we're setting this all up for you to do what you need to do. And if you're struggling with knowing what that is, it's sitting in stillness and allowing that answer to come. Ask for it to come. And just sit and allow. And if it doesn't come right away, just say, okay, I want you guys to show it to me some other time today, and I will be open and receptive to receive it, because you want to be able to use this energy. Now, keep in mind, what's cool about the moon is that it has like a pull, right? It's like an energetic pull, like all planets are to us. But you've got a couple days, it's called, you know, like a shadow period, what they call, a couple days before, a couple days after. With the moon, because it moves so quickly, it really is within a couple days before, a couple days after. You don't really want to go past 2 days before or 2 days after, I would say, to really harness that opportunity to go within and tap into those emotions and things that you need to address. After that, it's not like it doesn't come around again. I mean, you're going to get another opportunity, but it's going to be a while from now. This is just like this little special like setup they've given us. I say they, the universe, the planets. and again, any astrologers out there listening to me, this is my own intuitive expression of what I'm seeing when I look at the chart and when I feel into the planets. So Saturn is another player that's happening right now. Saturn's still in retrograde. No. Saturn went direct on the 11th. So today's the 13th, a couple days ago. But Saturn governs boundaries. And I heard that and I was like, perfect. Yes, I'm going to use that in this podcast because I think it's really important to recognize that when you shift relationships with people, when you are looking at what's not working and what you have to let go of or what you want to transform or how, when, all that kind of stuff, Saturn supports you in creating boundaries that support you in doing that. I keep saying support, but boundary, you know, Saturn, I always think of like you're creating a new foundation. So that is the support system. You're creating a new foundation, which includes boundaries. Like I no longer will allow this in my life because this relationship is no longer serving me. And this is what this relationship has been doing to me. Without the contrast, you wouldn't know what you like and what you don't like. So it's important to have that. But now that you recognize it and you're having that inner dialogue with Mercury in retrograde, you have that opportunity to say, okay, what boundaries do I want to set up now that support me? And there's forward movement with this right now. That's the wonderful thing. Saturn's been in retrograde for a while. So you've been probably, this has been stirring a lot of people. This has been stirring up for quite a while. I would say months and months with Saturn being in retrograde in Aquarius. Is that sort of like looking at the bigger picture and going, this doesn't really fit in my big picture of thought of how, what I thought my world would be like. It's not really feeling in alignment anymore. And I'm seeing other things that could fit better and work better for me. So with Saturn being in retrograde in Aquarius, it's that inward dialogue. Well, what kind of new foundations can I create? The thing is, when things are in retrograde, I find a lot of people tend to be not being able to, like, you're sort of having an opportunity to sit still and think about it, which is hard for most humans. Cause like when we decide, we figure out like what's not right, we want to like change it right now. And sometimes we have to just wait. We have to sort of like let it settle. Let it, you know, sit within you for a while and mature and, you know, percolate. You know, let it. So when the time is right, that things are ready to move forward, which is now Saturn being direct, it's about forward movement. And so we have this, we had an opportunity for inward feminine energy to have reflection. And now we have outward movement, which is very masculine, which is that energy, that will, desire to create something new. So we take that emotional energy of creativity and we're able to like move forward with it. So Saturn is about creating new boundaries and it's perfect. New boundaries and new foundations. New ways to connect with others. That would be something I would use as a tagline when you're looking at Saturn with everything else that I just brought up around this full moon energy. Okay, whew, that was a lot. So, I want to move on to three aspects that a couple of them I already talked about, Pluto, Saturn, and I want to add in there Jupiter. Here's a couple just kind of fun and interesting information. Well, I don't think it's just fun and interesting. It's actually pretty important. Okay. So Pluto went direct on the 6th of this month of October in 2021. Saturn went direct on the 11th. Jupiter goes direct on the 18th. All these planets have been in retrograde for a long time. It seems like forever, but they've been in retrograde for quite a while. So Pluto, again, just to, you know, kind of, you know, how I see Pluto in just a couple words. Pluto, wounds, or aspects of self that need healing. Kind of like those dark-seated things that have been hidden from you. They're being brought to the surface to be looked at. Saturn, you know, Pluto represents the eighth house, which is death, rebirth, and transformation. So it's about the occult as well, which really means just unseen things that you, things that you don't really want people to know, but you need to work on. And these are usually soul karmic things that you bring over with you in this lifetime to work on. And, you know, so many of us have had so many lifetimes that the karmic stuff we're working on now is really big. It's like you've had like three or four opportunities in other lifetimes to kind of like work on it. And you're like, I still haven't cleaned that up. I still don't understand. I still want to learn more about that. So you do it again in this lifetime. And so if you haven't healed it and transformed it in another lifetime, then it's coming into this one. And a lot of it's coming at one time. We're healing like wounds and wounds and wounds and wounds and wounds. I mean, it's like the veils are thin. Things are moving fast and quick. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like the days are just going like that. Like I'm like, I just woke up, you know, like I don't even know I have more things I want to do and I can't seem to do them. The days are moving quickly and time is speeding up. And, you know, because time is really only relative on this planet, but it's speeding up. And we're being called to like work on these, move on, work on them, move on, work on them, move on. And these are things that we brought, you know, with us years and years and years. And a lot of these relationships that you'll be looking at are karmic relationships that especially if they're really tough ones that you're looking at, they are really being called to work on now. I just did a session. My daughter and I did a kind of a co-session with a friend of mine who's going through a breakup. And we had gone into the Akashic Records and we had found that she had three other lifetimes where she had the same pattern happening, the same story, the same pattern. And in this lifetime, she has an opportunity to interrupt that pattern and heal it and move through it so that her soul says, okay, I've completed that understanding of that, you know, of that experience. And now I can put it aside and move on to the next thing I want to clear up. You know, it's never ending really, but right now it's about relationships. So focus on that. Okay. So Pluto is in Capricorn, the sign of Capricorn, which is about structures, boundaries, limitations, timelines. It's about that masculine energy, that desire to move forward, the desire to build something better, you know? And, Capricorn in esoteric astrology is the goat that with the fishtail. So it's very spiritual and it jumps up and, you know, hops its way to the top of the mountain. But the thing about Capricorn is when it gets to the top of the mountain, it says, I've accomplished all these amazing things. Look at me. I've known this and I know that and I know all these things. And, you know, I'm so proud of myself. You know, and it's very direct energy. It knows exactly what it wants and how to get there. And when it gets to the top, it looks down at humanity and it says, oh, look at all these souls down there that could use my wisdom. And it goes right back down and gives them the wisdom. So Capricorn is a beautiful sign. A lot of people think it's a little harsh and it can be a little controlling because some people who have a lot of Capricorn energy can be a little bit too structured. You know, there has to be some wiggle room there, some feminine energy coming through. But it's one of the most, it's a teaching sign in my opinion. It's just one of these signs where Capricorns have the ability to use structure and timeline and this masculine energy of will and desire to move forward. And then when they bring that beautiful fishtail part of themselves, that feminine energy of spirituality and allowing and movement, they connect the spiritual and the practical world. In fact, I would say Capricorn is very practical mystic type sign. So when you get to the top and you look down, you're like, I want to share this with all of humanity. They're, you know, I want to teach them what I've learned so that they don't have to suffer. So Capricorn, so Pluto being in Capricorn is pretty special. It's that idea of like, I've learned, you know, we've learned so much. It's time to release our pain. So Pluto goes direct. Went direct on the 6th in the sign of Capricorn. I'm going to go back to that in a minute, but I want to say Saturn is in Aquarius and so is Jupiter. Now, Saturn's the sign we talked earlier about. It's foundations, boundaries, timelines. You know, Capricorn actually rules. I just had a thought there. Capricorn rules Saturn. So Saturn being in Aquarius, if anybody's following me here, Capricorn. So Saturn's natural home is in Capricorn, the structure, limitations, you know, masculine desire and will to move forward. It's in the sign of Aquarius, which is pretty cool because Aquarius is about, this is why we see all this going on the planet right now. Aquarius is about Aquarius to me, if I had to draw a picture, you know, it's funny because Aquarius is the woman with the water and she's pouring it, you know, out into, it's an earth sign. No, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. It's an air sign. I kept singing think sign. Oh my gosh. That's Mercury in retrograde. Please tell me Mercury's still in retrograde because I literally could not come up with that word. But anyway, the think sign. Oh my gosh. It's an air sign. But Aquarius is the woman pouring water. But when I see Aquarius in my mind, I always think of Aquarius as an androgynous person. It's that uniqueness of who you are within the collective. It's the freedom to express who you are without limitations. It's about freedom. It's about expression. It's about limitless boundaries. It's higher forms of thinking. It's connecting to the collective, but yet knowing that you're connected to the collective, but you're still your own individual self. It's really a cool sign. It can be a little aloof and a little cold, you know, because it's sort of very airy. It's like the highest air sign as far as like big forms of thinking. And it can get a little out of control, like, you know, all over the place. But and they're very Aquarians tend to be very unique. And, you know, they might be the ones that have like the different colored hair and the plaid shirt and the striped pants, you know, like they love to express their freedom. Now, Jupiter is also in Aquarius, and Jupiter's about, you know, abundance and expansion. It's about learning new forms of spirituality and playfulness and understanding you're connected to all of this amazing stuff. And, you know, so Jupiter's about abundance, but again, you have to remember it could be abundance in both ways. I'm not going to say negative or positive, because it's really not negative or positive. It's just a matter of you want the abundance to be in a way that's in alignment with you, not the opposite. So Pluto's in Capricorn. So as they all go direct, now Jupiter's going to go direct on the 18th. So it's just down the road, which means you've got forward movement with Pluto, forward movement with Saturn, and forward movement with Jupiter. So you've got your wounds, you've got structure and boundaries and abundance. So your wounds are going to come up, but you're going to have some support with structure and boundaries and new ways of creating it so it works for you going into the future. And Jupiter is that abundant, wonderful, abundant planet that's going to help all that, you know, manifest. It's the manifesting planet. No, this is really cool because this is something that I heard someone say and I was like, no way. When I first started learning astrology, several years ago, Pluto had just gone into Capricorn. You know, Pluto moves really flipping slow. And I mean, we're talking years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Anyway, Pluto had just moved into Capricorn. And I remember doing a kind of like a little astrology research project just on my own, because I'm kind of a geek that way. You know, where was Pluto at in this year? Where is Pluto at? You know, these big timelines where Pluto played a big part in the Earth's history or in my country's history. Well, Pluto just happens in July 4th, 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was signed in the United States, Pluto was in Capricorn at 28 degrees. Now, again, I said Pluto moves very slow. Right now, Pluto's at 24 degrees. Now, anything that's within, some people say 5, some people say 10. I think 5 makes more sense, 5 to 7. If a large planet like that moves really slow, and we're talking the larger the planet, the bigger the lessons. Okay, so think of it that way. And the moon moves really quickly. It's like, oh, I feel crappy one day, I feel great the next day. When a large planet is moving and causing some movement within your life or pulling and getting you to do some work, it's big life lessons. It's slow, but big, you know? And so, and it goes back and forth and forever, you know, I mean, so Pluto is at 24 degrees. So Pluto's within 5 degrees of where it was when the United States, or 6 degrees of where it was when the United States signed the Declaration of Independence. That's pretty tight. That's starting to ramp up. Remember when I talked about shadow periods? Pluto has a shadow period that can be bigger than just a couple days. It can be like a week. I shouldn't say a week. I'm going to say degrees. So if it's at 28 degrees, so say it's at 20, you know, 21 degrees, that's 7 degrees difference. It's still going to be like a pull, a tug and pull on you. Very small, very little, back and forth. And you feel it, but you don't have to do anything quite about it yet, but it's there. And then when it reaches it, what you call a conjunction, where it's at 28 degrees at the same time it was in 1776 on July 4th, we're going to have like a holy crap, new world, new changes, because Pluto has peaked its opportunity to show you what needs to be changed and needs to come forward and needs to be healed. It's about healing. It's about transformation. It's about bringing those parts of self to the surface and saying, this no longer works for me. Now think of, you know, astrology also governs things, countries, it can even govern objects if you really want to get detailed, but like it governs countries. So we're just going to stick with the country part because that's what I'm talking about. On February 12th, 2023, okay, it's only October 13th, 2021. So February 12th, 2023, so we got quite a time to wait here. Capricorn will be at 28 degrees. Pluto will be at 28 degrees in Capricorn, which is exactly the point it was on July 4th, 1776, which means that we're going to have that's going to be the peak of where we're going to start seeing all of these things that we're seeing now that no longer work, that no longer service, where our wounds sit, our history, the things that have given us pain and suffering that we're trying to heal. Whether it's race, religion, politics, the way we do medicine, the way we educate our children, everything that has not been serving our country anymore, and the people that live in this republic, this United States that was created, we are with the original Constitution that we created. We are going to have to look, we're going to have to really look at these things that no longer serve us, these things that are icky and gross and annoying and painful, and we just keep pushing aside. Oh, we'll deal with another time. We'll push aside. This is why everything's coming up. I mean, everything is coming up, and we're only seeing the surface. We're only seeing a fraction of what is really there to be seen, and that's what Pluto's doing, is it's slowly showing us bits and pieces. I mean, if it showed us everything at once, we'd crash and burn. I mean, it would be like chaos. It'd be anarchy, because we would see all the itty gritty, nasty ickies that have been secretive and hidden and manipulative and just gross. And we would be overwhelmed. So what we're getting is an opportunity at this point to have little bits and pieces show up for us so we can clear them up like an onion, with layers. So you can clear up one layer and then you can move on to the next layer. And then even though you cleared up the one layer, say it's like school systems. You clean up the one with school systems and then you clean up another layer that's related to religion. There might be another layer with school systems, but it's allowing each layer or each petal of the flower, however you want to look at it, to be looked at and healed to move on to the next. And then you just get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you get more what's the word I'm thinking of? You get more clarity and opportunity to really heal at a deep level. So you no longer have to carry it with it. We no longer have to have it part of our country's establishment anymore. It can be healed and moved on. It's sort of like there'll be a time, believe it or not, there's going to be a time in the future where we'll look back and we'll be like, was that really an issue? Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was, I mean, kind of like my generation, I was looking back and, back in history, 60, 70 years ago, going, really? That was the thing that you don't even think about now, right? But it was their reality, and our reality is now, and it's going to shift. The beautiful thing is we can't be afraid of it. We can't think of it's a bad thing, because it's a good thing. It needs to shift. It needs to. It's sort of like staring at that junk drawer all the time and going, okay, I can't take it anymore. I've got to clean that junk drawer. And when you do, you just feel like, oh, that feels so good. I'll open that drawer and I'm like, look how clean it is. I can find everything I need. New structures, letting go, throwing things away that no longer work for you. It's fixing things that were broken. It's beautiful. So this is what's happening right now. And, but it's going to be a while. So I just want to warn you, like, we've got some time to work through this, but we also have a big transition coming. And we can take it. We can take it. And I'm talking specifically of the United States, but this is affecting everybody everywhere. I mean, these planets don't just affect one area. They affect the world and all the individuals in the world. But when I'm thinking about the United States, you know, we set up the United States in a time of Pluto being in Capricorn, which is about creating new structures and releasing the pain of the old way of being. That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. And so we can do it again. We can do it again. And we got a beautiful constitution. We've got beautiful people, people who want to really heal. But we have to do it. This is the thing I want to bring into this. And I'm getting in my soapbox a little bit. But Saturn and Jupiter being in Aquarius. And Saturn's going to be in Aquarius until March 8th of 2023. So it's going to be there during this peak with Pluto in February. And Saturn is, again, about creating structures, boundaries, support systems that work better than what you had before. So we've got this beautiful lineup that's supporting us to not fall back into the old ways of being, but look at where we've been and what we have, take that with us and transform it into something better. It's not about throwing things away and doing them all differently. It's not about everybody doing the same thing. Because remember, it's Aquarius. Aquarius is the individual connected to the collective, but still allowed to be the freedom within the individual. And it's about freedom. Aquarius is about freedom. It's breaking free of the structures. You know, it's like, and kind of think of it like that, you know, it's like being in a box and being, you know, let out and you're like free. You don't, you're broken the chains. So it's not about telling everybody they have to do all the same things that everybody else is doing. It's not about creating a society where everybody has to do that, because it goes against everything Aquarius is. Aquarius is the individual, the uniqueness of the individual within the collective of that they're connected to. And at this point, we're talking humanity. We all have to start, and you see that with a lot of the transgenders and the LGBTQ community and all of these wonderful young children right now, even though it's kind of challenging for some of us parents who are like, you know, brought up in the old ways of like everybody just kind of was the same, you know? Yeah, the cute few people out there were a little unique and different, but like everybody's unique and different. I saw this girl at, just a little side note, personal note here. I was at the UPS store yesterday and I had a conversation with this employee there because she was helping me figure out how to mail something. And I couldn't stop. I tried not to look at her too much because I was like, you know, I was fascinated by what she had done with her face and that the UPS store was okay with her dress like that and looking like that, you know, because when I grew up going to work, my mother was always like, you know, iron your shirt, put some lipstick on, make sure your hair is combed, you know, like there was basic things, tuck in your shirt, you know. I used to get the old look like, you're going to wear that today? Oh, okay. You know, and I'd be like, okay, fine. She'd be like, iron your clothes. Like I remember my mom, it was always iron your clothes, put a belt on and put some lipstick on. But anyway, that kind of ages me. You kind of figure out how old I am at that point. But anyway, she had this, it was almost like a costume. And she had these little ponytails in her hair, and her hair was all different colors. And she had shaved off all of her eyebrows. And she had painted these little, I almost think that they had to be decals because it was so intricate. And I should have said something to her because it was fascinating. They look like little bats. And they were right in the crease of her, you know, the beginning where her eyebrows start. And she was the sweetest person. She was so sweet. So I looked at her and I thought, some people might judge her right away and think, I'm really like communicating with you. Like, do you even like, you look, you know, you just don't look normal, you know, what normal is, right? And I thought, I love to give people the benefit of the doubt. This is who I am. You know, I'm not going to judge anybody for way they look. I mean, look at me. I'm wearing a sweatshirt today for my Chicago French Bulldog rescue. And I'm like, that's who I am. I wouldn't want her to judge me. So I went in and I was talking to her and, you know, we're trying to figure out things. And I just was like, this is pretty freaking cool. The UPS store is like, I mean, I live in a pretty progressive town, so, you know, but it's pretty, she was so smart. She knew everything. She was just like so her customer service was amazing. And I just kept thinking, you got this little bat on it for eyebrows. It's so crazy. And I was like, and she also had some like weird other like paintings on her face, like literally paint, like as if she was going to a costume party. And I don't think that's what it was. I think that was her expression of, you know, wearing makeup that day. That's how I want to present myself today. That's how I feel. And I thought it was freaking awesome. And that's what we're seeing. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about like people are expressing themselves in their individuality. And if everybody is being told to do the same thing or they're bad, then where's the individual expression? You can't have one without the other. You can't try to like make everybody do the same thing and not allow individual expression. That's not going to happen. I'm just going to tell you it's not going to work because we're in the flippant age of Aquarius. We are moving directly headed. We're directly headed for it full on. And we're in that sort of shadow period right now of the age of Aquarius. So people are starting to want to express their individuality and have autonomy and have freedom over that, but yet still create a society and a structure within society that supports them as well as the person who's looking completely different than them, whether it's color, creed, age, religion, gender, whatever, you know? And so that's the age of Aquarius. And that is amazing. We're moving into it. I'm so excited. And it's going to support us because it's not going to allow us to continue the patriarchy, the patriarchal way of control, which is very, very Saturn, by the way. It's very Capricorn and very Saturn, but it's that male domination kind of idea, like we have to do things this way, you know? No, we don't. And we've been proving that, you know, it's starting with work. A lot of people are working from home now. There's new technologies coming out. New technologies is very Aquarius, very Aquarius. We're going to have a lot more new technologies that are going to come out and support us, whether it's to support energy, to support working from, you know, having people have the ability to work from home more when they can't go to an office space. Not everybody, you know, it's a struggle. You know, where's the individual? You know, when you have to force everybody to do the same thing, you know, some people are raising children, you know, we're going to be restructuring our school systems, recognizing that it can't just be everybody all in the same box. Everybody has an individual way of learning and we're going to have to figure out how to do it. You know, when my daughter went to school, I'm getting on my soapbox a little bit here and share a story, but I remember when she, and I'm sure a lot of parents went through this. I was so frustrated because my husband and I sent her to Montessori school. And I also taught her, you know, she was an only child. So I had a lot more time on my hands and I taught her like how to tell time and all these sort of things. And when she went to kindergarten and first grade, I started recognizing that they were dumbing her down. Like she forgot how to do certain things. They tried to change the way she understood how to comprehend things. And she had to do everything the way they wanted her to. It was like, so when she ended up having massive anxiety and panic and we pulled her out when she was around 13, 14, and we ended up forking it out for a tutor, but it was worth every penny. The tutor literally retrained her how to do math because they were teaching her how to do math in this sort of like everybody has to fit in the same box. And if you don't, then, you know, kids start saying, well, I'm a failure because I can't figure out how to do it. I'm stupid. I don't know how to do it. And they get bad grades. And then their other friends are like, I got A's. And you're like, feel like a loser, you know? And it was so stressful and ridiculous. And so, but the teachers weren't willing to let her show how she got to the answer because it had to be this way. Even with creative writing, I mean, every aspect of school. So I know the school systems need to be restructured. I'm not getting on my high horse about it on this one because she's 23 now, so I'm sort of removed from it for a while, but it was tough. And I really have a lot of compassion for parents right now and what's going on. Not everybody fits in this box. Not everybody knows how to learn that way. And I'm going to tell you, these kids are going to fight against it. We're fighting for them the best we can, but we're fighting an old structure. These guys are going to come right behind us. They do not care. they want change. They want to be seen. They want to be witnessed as the individual who they are. And they're not going to, they're not going to let this continue. They're just not. If we don't do it, they're going to do it right behind us with their kids. It's not going to happen. So this is the age of Aquarius. So lean into it. And let your freak flag fly, because that's what it's about. Whatever your freak flag looks like, it's your opportunity to let it fly, and we all have to love each other. We cannot move into the age of Aquarius with our old junk. This is the other lesson, and I get this a lot through my guidance and my channeling messages. We cannot move in to the stage of Aquarius taking our junk with us. We cannot move into it with this old patriarchy and the way things have been and the structures they have been. We also cannot move into it with continuing to hold on to old wounds without transforming them. And I'm saying transforming instead of healing, even though healing is also considered transforming, because when I think about it, we can't continue to be the victim of our circumstances. We cannot continue to feel whatever color, gender, religion, whatever it is that you are holding on to that is creating separation. It's going to be shifted and transformed. It's going to be. So be ready for it. Be open to it. Be excited about it. What's that look like? What's that feel like? It's going to feel like freedom. What's wrong with freedom? I mean, freedom is like awesome. You know, we no longer have to be a certain way. We no longer have to feel a victim of what our ancestors went through or what our ancestors did. We can all say, you know what? It's time to let it go. It's time to transform it. It's time to send it love and literally just transform it. Find new structures, find new ways, release the pain, have conversations, cry. Crying is so releasing. Cry, laugh, create new structures based out of unity and instead of separation. And we're seeing so much separation right now. But this is what happens a lot when we have big transitions like this. We have big transits. I mean, this is huge transit. We're really like pushing up against a lot of things I just brought up. Age of Aquarius, Pluto transforming so many structures in our world and in our lives as well. And Jupiter with all the abundance it's bringing us in this arena, relationships with everything, how we see ourselves, what we want in the world, what we want to create. It's really, the veils are thin. We're in the fifth dimension. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. There's so many things. And I always look at it like a pendulum. So you've got a pendulum that swings. You know, when you start swinging a pendulum, it's like way over here and then way over here. So we've got this pendulum situation where it's like doing this back and forth and back and forth. And it feels like so polarizing over here. And then woo goes over here, polarizing over here. And you got these two groups of people that are sort of, some are in the middle and some are way over here on the right and some are way over to the left, you know, where the pendulum's at. And it's like, and I'm not going to say right or left because of politics. I'm just using that because the pendulum goes this way. It goes right and left. But anyway, my point is the goal is to find the middle ground. And that is the age of Aquarius. How are you connected and accepted uniquely who you are and to be free to be who you are within the collective? Think of the collective as the pendulum on the far left and the far right, and everything in between is the collective. So it's finding that the still point right in the middle. And we'll get there. And we may not for a while. We may not. I mean, we're not going to get there for a while. I'm going to tell you that. But it could go again. You know, and again, there's so many structures that have been put in place, specifically if I'm just talking about the United States, since 1776, that need restructuring. And so many. So we can't do them all at once, or we would just be, it would be too much. We would all crash and burn. This has to be done in a timely, precise, loving and gentle and supportive and healthy way. So that's what's happening right now. And that's what's going on. So, oh my gosh, so much I shared with you on that. Anyway, I'm sure I'll be talking about this in the future because it's still going on. I mean, we're talking another year and a half or so. of this energy back and forth and transforming and all of this. So again, I want to challenge you to use the word transform instead of heal. Healing, even though I love the word healing, you have to look at healing as being, you know, you have to really focus in on the positive part of healing, because healing can be, it's kind of, I look at healing, you know, and this was actually a guided channel message I gave today, and I'm going to post a blog on this, but healing is a man-made name, I mean, word. When spirit looks at whether it's the physical body or mental or emotional body healing or a planet healing or a collective of people healing or, you know, a country healing, whatever it is, it's more of a transformation is what it is. It's moving from one way of being to another. It's expansion and transformation. So you, healing kind of puts a little bit of an, people tend to have a frequency connected to the word healing that can have a, it can be more of a victimhood situation where it puts you in like a victimhood, like I have to heal this because I'm been damaged. No, it's not about that. It's about transformation. Like the butterfly and the chrysalis, you know, coming out of the, you know, it's coming out and it's transformed into something completely different. It's not about, it's almost like I want to say, I think I'm going to start really, really hammering this in. And I'll probably say this again and again and again. It's not so much about healing. Even though I say like I'm an energy healer, I should say I'm an energy transformer. supportive energy transformer. But the thing is, most people don't recognize that. So I either want to transform the energy of the word healing out of victimhood, or I want to use the word transformation, because that's really what it is. It's kind of like saying I have a disease. You're not, it's not so much a disease, it's a dis-ease in the body. So you want to, you have an imbalance. You want to transform it. It's kind of like there's an imbalance in our world, imbalance in our country, and imbalance in our population, you know, in the way people are thinking and our collective consciousness. So we need to bring transformation to the balance. We're not trying to heal it, because healing it has this idea that we're turning it from one thing into a better thing. And we're just letting that bad thing go. You know, it's sick. So we're putting it over here and we're going to heal it and make it better. No, no. It's not about letting go of the old. It's about recognizing the old, valuing what it represented and the healing it's brought. Here I use the word healing. The understanding, lessons, transformation, expansion, awareness that it's brought, and using all of those to transform it into something even better. I want you to challenge that with you right now when we go back and we talk about this full moon and relationships. There's so many relationships we have as humans. We have relationships with everything, from what we eat, what we put in our bodies, who we speak to, who we work for, who we communicate, who we choose to associate with, our computers, our phones, our technology, our animals, our pets, our sky, our nature, everything, our cars. I mean, like, there's nothing we don't have a relationship with. Our clothes is a relationship, you know? It's a beautiful opportunity to lean into that energy. All right, I have talked for over an hour, so I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for showing up to this video. I hope you got something out of it. I had fun doing it. And if you have any questions or you want to go deeper on one of the topics that I brought up, please send me a message at dana@deardane.com, or you can DM me on Instagram, or I'm trying to get all these things out. I have to admit, I'm such a dork. You know, I grew up in the early 80s, and I was born in, you know, I'm 53, so I'll just say it. I was born in 68, so 70s and 80s. And so the other day, I think it was, I've been working on computers for a long time, and I always hear people say like DM me or DM me. I did not know what that meant until about 3 months ago. So I'm kind of a geek when it comes to these sort of things. So And I hope any of those geeks out there don't take that offensively, because I think it's kind of cool to be a geek sometimes. A geek is a high vibrational word, in my opinion. So anyway, send me a message. Just send me a message. And let me know what you think. If you have anything you want to go further with, or you have any other topics you want to, discuss and see if I can, bring some clarity to, I would be more than happy to. I enjoy doing these things and supporting those spiritual seekers and truth seekers and people who are just trying to navigate this crazy world we live in and tap into their innate intuitive skills that support them to move through this transition and transition themselves and expand themselves into a better state of being, recognizing that you are a divine master creator in this life experience. Okay. So I love you all and thank you again for showing up. And I hope to talk to you guys soon. All right. Take care. Until next time. Bye. If you like what you've heard in this episode, inspired to explore further, and have any questions or comments that I can use for future episodes, please do that via my email at dana@danamclean.life. Just make sure to type in podcast in the subject line. And of course, if you're interested in a one-on-one session with me, you can either go directly to my website at www.danamclean.life, or you can send me an email at dana@danamclean.life. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.